Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Sarah Quinlan, who's Senior Vice President, Market Insights for MasterCard. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. Thank you.
So we're here to talk about some of the insights that you have derived from the May Spending Pulse report. So let's dive into it. Tell us, what is the most interesting piece of news from the May Spending Pulse report?
Well, I think the most important piece of news, and maybe not the most interesting, but certainly the most important, is that while there was a slight decline from April into May, overall the trend that we would like to see in discretionary spending, so spending on restaurants, jewelry, and the like, it remains extremely strong. So the consumer is having the confidence to continue to spend. And that really has been reflected, of course, in labor statistics, in other statistics, consumer confidence numbers themselves. And thus far, we're continuing to see that onward trend that we frankly saw start and begin last October, when we saw a drop in the price of gasoline year over year, which really was the catalyst to get discretionary spending going in the U.S.
So do you also think that this had something to do with the weather being better?
Oh, well, of course. You know, interestingly enough, if we actually look at the period, at the sort of January to March period, you could see this dip. If we look at the heat map of the U.S., which we have in Spending Pulse, you could see that the Smile, which is, of course, the Pacific region down to Texas over to Florida, was doing quite well, you know, between 4 and 8% year-over-year growth. It was only, frankly, the Great Basin, the Midwest, the Northeast, and the Mid-Atlantic that was negative year-over-year, and that was what was causing the decline. So, of course, once we actually saw weather improve, we actually saw, for example, a 4.4% year-over-year increase in April. So there was a real rebound in spending and pent-up demand. And I think it's interesting that you see that continue in May.
I love the way you describe the smile, because I live in the frown in the Northeast. But that didn't stop me from shopping online, I have to say. When the weather gets bad, the iPads come out, and there I go. Do you find that to be something that consumers generally do as well? How does that factor into some of what you're seeing?
Well, absolutely. It's extremely important. We continue to see double-digit growth year over year in e-commerce spending. And what's really important about that to understand is that, you know, e-commerce is at a bigger base all the time. So if it's still growing at double digits, it's telling you that more and more consumers are adopting and comfortable with this transaction channel. But what is also very interesting is we're seeing increased spending there in apparel, increased spending in department stores, in jewelry, things like that were most before that people needed to actually see and touch the merchandise first, but now they're getting quite comfortable with that channel. Of course, it comes off a teeny bit, you know, in May from April, just because obviously people, you know, shopping is social. People still want to go out and physically, you know, shop with their friends, their families, and so that social aspect takes over when the weather improves.
Well, I think that's right, but I think the online experience is just so much better, that what used to be hard to really see well is now much better. Websites are better, and you can zoom in on details. So it does make sense that people feel more comfortable shopping online. What is the impact overall that you've been able to see online versus offline, and what people are doing in different channels? Are they buying different things in different channels?
Absolutely. Well, over 50% of electronics are now sold online, because it's considered a commodity business, and you sort of can compare one versus another, and it's more driven by price and convenience of, you know, purchasing the good than it necessarily is by something, a unique feature of the electronic that you're buying. So that's the big difference there. But we see increased share in all the categories. Obviously, certain categories, restaurants will never go online. I mean, yes, there's a bit of delivery that goes online, but that's not making a big dent into restaurant spend, because, again, we want to do that with our friends and family out at the experience. But we're actually seeing, as I say, apparel has gotten very, very strong. Interesting enough, we're seeing strength in department stores, which really was a differentiator, because we don't actually like to shop in bricks and mortar and department stores, but we very much actually like the experience online. So there's a big delineation. But what it's really driving it saying is the retailer must have that seamless omnichannel experience for their clientele, because their client wants to shop when and where they want to shop, at the time they want to shop, in any way and in any form, and that includes mobile as well.
So when you say seamless experience, is there anything in particular that consumers think is absolutely, positively essential?
Yes. The first and foremost, obviously, security of, you know, putting their details online. That's number one. But more importantly, in terms of the total shopping experience, people want to be able to see something on the website, go in the store and buy it, or vice versa. See something in the store, later on go on the website and buy it. And there have not been enough retailers yet who have really, that's what I mean by the seamless experience, made it so that people really can see and touch things in any way that they wish to shop. And that's the big thing that we're really trying to move people forward to understanding, because that's how the consumer, especially post the recession, when they're very much a value for money driven consumer, is wanting their experience to be.
So when I think about May, I think about graduation, it's maybe the start of vacation season, and things that really reflect more of a leisure travel experience. Mm-hmm. Do you see that in some of the category winners and losers for May in terms of where people are actually spending their money?
Absolutely. Well, the number two category was lodging, which makes logical sense because 2 months previous, we saw a huge surge in airline spending. So people buy the tickets ahead of time, but they actually only do the lodging when they actually go and take the trip. So we clearly saw a surge in lodging, and it's actually going to be a very good summer in travel because, you know, last summer people did not want to fly, but this summer they absolutely are flying, and that's really going to be a trend that will continue, we expect, all the way through to the fall based upon what we've seen in pre-advanced airline ticket purchases. Secondly, obviously, the surge in restaurant spending, but we know it's not necessarily where that person's from, right? So from that particular pace, that's also really a benefit from the travel experience that people are taking on. Obviously, jewelry continues to remain strong in the month of May. Graduations, you know, reads that. But also, I think there's a very important new trend in jewelry, and we're seeing that people are investing in jewelry. And because it feels very permanent, it can go with all different clothes. You're not dependent upon a fashion. And I think so we're seeing quite a strong trend basically every single month since last October. And while I consider jewelry a need, not a want, it technically does fall in the want category. And so, interestingly enough, there really is no reason to buy jewelry in January. But yet we saw very strong purchasing even back in January when we were all frozen.
Well, you know, this has been a fascinating discussion. I love the fact that you're seeing people spending in restaurants. That's good. Jewelry, I agree with you, need, not a want. The one thing that really does bum me out, though, as a business traveler, is all the leisure travelers that are going to be clogging up the airport this summer based on what you just said.
Yes.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. But I guess, you know, the industry needs the dollars, so I guess that's a pretty good thing overall.
It is very good for the economy, I will say that.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for taking the time to give us the insights from May Spending Pulse, and we certainly look forward to getting more information from you as that evolves. Thank you.
Thank you very much.